And I trust that you have prayed for myself and my wife as well. Sherry is not just a part of me as far as a wife, but she is absolutely engaged in everything that I do in ministry. A lot of wives don't engage with pastors. They just say, that's what you do. Good luck, but not mine. Mine is there with me. Over 30 years now, we've stood together in ministry and forsaken so many other things we could have done through life. We talked about that a few weeks ago. And when you start out, you never know what's around the corner in ministry, but you just put your hand on the plow and you stay faithful to that all the days of your life. Amen. If you have your Bible today, I want you to turn to 1 Peter. Chapter number 4. I don't know how far I'll get with this morning, but it's certainly something that was laid on my heart earlier in the week as I, yes, was sitting on a couch and resting and just listening to birds and sort of just chilling. I was still engaged in what I felt like God was speaking to my heart. What I'm going to speak to you this morning about is not by my likings and not by my choice. I felt like that God laid it on my heart to do this. Whatever I may say today, I don't want to feel like, or I don't want you to feel like that I'm coming across in a manner that would be condemning or one that would be that I'm trying to spill any type of judgment over on you from myself, because that's not who I am, first of all. The Bible teaches us to judge not lest you be judged. By the same judgment you judge someone else is exactly by what you will be judged by. In other words, if you condemn somebody else for doing something and then you go and do it, you're going to be judged just as you judged someone else. When you think about the word judgment, I don't like that word. The word judgment comes from the idea or the concept of a sentencing. One that would be standing before a judge, if you will, in a court of law, awaiting to hear what the judge would have to say. I know today that we live in a very loose world, a world where that men's consciousness has been seared as with a hot iron, a day that has been described by Paul the Apostle to young Timothy, that men would be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. And the Bible even reminds us that men would call evil good and good evil. When I was much younger in ministry, I thought to myself even at some point that that day would come when we would actually see that. Years ago, you heard it, you thought about it, people would talk about it. But today, my friend, we are living in a day and an hour where that people call evil good and good evil. We live in as Brother Chris said, we live in a world that believes that today. But the thing that I believe that the Lord's laid upon my heart is that you're in the world, but you're not of the world. In other words, we don't think like the world. We don't act like the world. We don't have the desires of the world. We don't have the fleshy desires that the world has. And I've been talking about this thing about sanctification for quite some time, not so much that I've just tried to do that, as much as it is that I believe that God has had me there because God is coming back for a church, that a purified church, a people that is looking unto Him. The Bible even tells us that in the scripture about where in the book of Ephesians 5, we're not going there, but I'm telling you where it's at, where that the husbands are to love their wives even as Christ loved the church, and He's coming back for a glorious church, not having spot or blemish. So there's a great concern of mine today as a pastor because Everybody in the scripture that said, Lord, Lord, did not mean that they were serving God. And there's a great concern in my heart today for a congregation. I'm not accountable for the Wesleyan down the street. I'm not accountable for First Methodist over here off Randolph or First Baptist on Randolph. I'm accountable for what goes on here. So when I say that, I ask myself in my own mind and I check myself in my own heart, am I leading people into a right relationship with God? Now, I know I could sound like a broke record today. I could sound a little bit repetitive and a little bit redundant. I don't want to preach at you. I want to preach with you. And I don't want to preach down at you. I want us today to understand that as we work through this message together, that God is not looking for perfection per se. And I say that in the description, that without Him, none of us can be pure enough. None of us can be good enough to even be saved. The Bible teaches us in the book of Romans, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the Bible even says, if any man says that he has no sin, he deceives himself and the truth is not in him. So we all know that in this walk of the flesh, every person under the sound of my voice, we are susceptible to the things of the flesh. We are actually susceptible to sin. But every day God has given you and I the choice of whether we're going to walk in a sinful lifestyle or we're going to walk in a life that is pleasing unto God. And that is my message this morning in a nutshell, that I want to live a life that is pleasing unto God. When Peter was writing this, he opens up in verse number 12 of 1 Peter chapter 4. And this is what he says. He says there, and again, I preached this and I preached some of this here not long ago, but I want to get to a certain point here this morning. He said, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as you have been, that you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceedingly joy. If you or ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of. But on your part he is glorified. Let me slow down. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Now, when you take those verses 12 through 16 in a different look at those scriptures is simply this. Because I too, when I read back through this, I too gleaned a little bit more out of that. In other words, when Peter was writing this, Peter was writing for you and I to look at this from the perspective, if you and I are living pure for God, if you and I are living in a holiness unto God, if you and I are doing the right things for God, then he says, think it not strange the fiery darts that are to try you. In other words, if you and I have elected in our own heart, in our own life, to live a life for God, to live separated out from the world and not be named among the things of the world, what Peter was really saying is, it's not going to be a strange thing that you're condemned. It's not going to be a strange thing that people mock you. It's not going to be a strange thing that people poke fun at you. It's not going to be an odd thing that you are different than those that are in the world. So really, when Peter was writing that, he was basically trying to write that for the benefit of the people of God, so the people of God would look at this through the perspective or through the eyes that whatever you do it for the glory of God. And even in your suffering, you suffer that because you want to be an individual or a person that brings glory unto God. I know I cut my teeth on old-fashioned, if I can use that word, old-fashioned, traditional Church of God. I mean, I cut my teeth on that as a teenager moving forward in the church. And somebody says, well, I thank God that I wasn't brought up that way. No, I thank God I was brought up that way. I thank God that preachers would stand and preachers would pour into me morality and correctness and righteousness and tell me, you better live right, son. You better get your heart right, son. And Pastor Dotson, oh my goodness, I could talk an hour about him. But I am so thankful looking back on it now. That men took time to sow into my life and to tell me the truth about God and the truth about righteousness and the truth about purity, because this next verse gives me an understanding of why we as preachers, and again, I'm just going to meddle a little bit today, talk to you a little bit today, share my heart with you a little bit today. I will not get done. I've got pages and pages and pages of stuff that I've went through. But the thing that I wanted to say today was simply this, that I thank God today that I had people in my life that would show me the right way, that would guide me in the right way. Verse 17 is where this actually picks up. Because for the title message, I forgot to mention that, is who will be able to stand? In other words, when we get to that place in life, how are we going to stand in the front of God? How are we going to stand in front of Him? Because He teaches us that for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of those that obey not the gospel of God? So in this, when I begin to work through this in my own heart today, the Bible teaches you and I, it is imperative. And this is one of the things that I thought of, because I don't want to sound like a broke record. I don't want to get up here week in and week out and say the same things a different way. And sometimes I feel like I'm saying that, and sometimes I feel like I'm doing that. But yet God takes me right back to these same verses again. And He wanted me to tell you today that God in the Scripture, the Bible says that the judgment of God is going to begin at the house of God. One of the things that I was reading through in some commentaries and just different ones that I was reading from, and it was said it's like this in the natural sense. If a father has, say, a couple of boys or whatever the case may be, that father has the responsibility of correcting his own house before he goes down the street and knocks on his neighbor's door and starts trying to correct that house. You know what I'm saying? So God is saying in this that God is going to first come and God is first going to correct His people. You know, how in the world could we as a church ever tell the world how to live if we're not living there first ourselves? And Sherry and I think I mentioned it to you, I think it was, in my processing of all this, Paul said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Paul was saying, I'm compelled to preach the gospel. And then Paul describes himself as the chief of sinners. And then Paul says this in a nutshell, I'm preaching to myself first, lest I too preach the gospel and myself become a castaway. And in that I'm thinking, you know, the church itself cannot tell the world how that they are to live unless the church itself is doing that to begin with. So we're going to take a journey here for a few minutes. Now, when you talk about the judgment of God, when you talk about judgment, as I've already said, it's as if one is standing in front of a judge in a judicial system where that judgment would be able to pronounce sentencing upon you. So when I think about this word judgment, it's got a couple of different meanings in different places throughout the Scripture. First of all, that's what it means. All of us, we must understand that one day, after a while, everybody will stand and give an account of themselves. I'll get into the Scripture in just a little bit about that. It's over in 2 Corinthians, and I'll mention it again later. But one of the things that I first thought of is when Jesus was teaching about the Beatitudes. There's several Beatitudes. He sat down and Jesus began to teach His disciples. And one of the first things that I thought of when I thought about the judgment of God is that God is going to even look on the pure. He tells them in the book of Matthew, chapter number 5, I believe it is, in verse number 8, this is what He says. He says, if you look at that, He said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So the first thing that God is saying to the church, the disciples, is for them to keep themselves pure. I look around today. I've seen things, as Chris has seen, maybe not on Facebook, since he's banned from Facebook now by the Holy Ghost. And I think I heard him say that the other day. But when you look on certain medias and certain things, you ask yourself, you know, and I see things from time to time, and I worry about people, and I'm concerned about people, I'm grieved about people, and I see things, and I think, my God, have mercy on these individuals, because these type of things, people don't even think about somewhere along the journey that they are going to give an account for everything that's done in their life. Now, I know the sinners and is going to be at the white throne judgment. The Christians are going to be at the judgment seat of Christ to receive rewards. So there's all kinds of different judgments throughout the Bible. And I don't have time to get into all of that. I thought about doing maybe a Wednesday night study on that sometime, because there's a lot in there on that. But yet we see again that when we look at these scriptures, again he says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, let me look at 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 for just a minute, because in that verse of Scripture, it teaches us, and this is one of the things that's very important here when we look at this, because he says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Commentary said two things about that. First of all, we see that everybody in this room, we will stand at some point before the judgment seat of Christ. As a Christian, we stand there, and God, again, and again, there's a lot of teaching on this, that we will stand there, watch this, to be rewarded for the good that we have done. For what God has looked upon you and I, because of the salvation experience that God has saved us, He's redeemed us. But yet, my friend, at that point, the Bible says that everyone shall receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, again, there's other things that we could talk about, but everybody, the emphasis here is that every person will be rewarded according to what you've done or what you've not done. We see that in the Scripture about the talents, those in the Scripture that was given talents. Some of them done good with the talents. Some of them multiplied their talents. They used their talent correctly. Others took their talent and hid it in the earth. And then the one that hid their talent in the earth, the Bible said that Jesus in the Scripture, the teaching of that parable, call them wicked. So there'll be rewards according to what all of us do with what God has given us. Now we look at this again moving forward, and we look at this in a lot of different ways. And God, if we look at God in the Scripture, and I don't want to jump too much right here, trying to keep a line going, God desires that His people walk in purity and holiness before Him. Those who are confessing Christians, the Bible reminds you and I that we're to walk in the Spirit. And by walking in the Spirit, the Bible says that you and I will not or shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The church must understand that God has called us out of darkness into this marvelous light. Again, reminding us that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. When you look at this thing about purity, it talks about clean. It talks about a spiritual sense of being clean and what the blood of Jesus has done for us. Cleansed from the pollution and the guilt of sin. James 1 and 27 reminds us that we're to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Now I know that bottom line on that, and he tells us about pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. I could spend the rest of my time on that verse right there. But we look at this, how again the responsibility comes to every Christian to keep themselves pure before God. Now, you might think, well, this is a little bit redundant again. I've heard this before. But there's an emphasis today that I want to get to. How do we keep ourselves pure before God? Well, one of the things I thought of was way over in the book of Proverbs. And I wanted to go there for just a minute. Since we kind of highlighted our students today, I look back and I thought, well, this is a good thing for our students to hear this if they're here today, and there is a lot of them here. But you look at this, how do we do that? How do we keep ourselves pure before God? Now, when I thought about that, it's over in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 3, and I know that you know the scripture very well. We look in verse number 1, because Solomon is supposed to be the writer of this, and he opens this up, and he talks about, my son. I think about either you're a son of God or you're not. There's other scripture that goes along with that. I don't know if I'll have time to get into that here this morning or not. But you're either saved or you're unsaved. You're not just halfway saved or maybe saved or think about saved. When Solomon was writing this, he said, my son, he says, forget not my law. Forget not my law. He said, but let thine heart keep my commandments. When I began to think about these scriptures that where the Bible says to a son or a daughter, a child of God, as we move forward in this, we think about standing before the awesomeness of God. Moses did that in Genesis 33. We mentioned that a couple of weeks ago. Moses did that that he might see the glory of God. He prayed, oh God, would you pass by that I might see you, that I might experience you. How many of you know that God will not dwell in an unclean temple? There are times that we ask ourselves, God, where are you at? And we present ourselves unto God. We give ourselves unto God. Romans talks about that. We yield ourselves unto God. We don't yield ourselves to the things of the world and to things of the flesh, but we yield ourselves to the things of God. And some of you may be connecting with this message, and some of you may not be connecting with this message. But my friend, I know this for a fact, that God is calling his church. And again, I don't mean to be to sound like I'm just an old stick in the mud, because I'm not. But God is calling his church out. He's trying to get his church ready. He's trying to give you and I today the opportunity to be a living testament of his glory and a living testament of his power. And the only way that we can do that is that we understand that the purity is important before God. Young people, young ladies, young men, you've got to understand at a young age, what you do right now is going to affect you the rest of your life. It's not just hearty party. It's not just do all you can do. It's not just get yourself set on a course right now that is a bad course, if you will, because it's going to follow you all the days of your life. I am so thankful that I had people in my life. I am so glad today that I had men that would get me under their arm and tell me the truth and tell me the things of God and show me the right way to go. Because my friend, I could have messed my life up when I was 18 or 19 year old, just like any other teenager. But I thank God that God put people in my way. But the second thing is this, I thank God, Sandra, that I had sense enough to listen to them. Now that's the second thing. You got to have a teachable spirit. How many people do you know, and don't raise your hand, that their life could be so much different right now if they could just have a teachable spirit? One of the most difficult things today, and Brother Chris and I have not talked about this, but I just, my own observations with young people, is you can tell young people sometimes the truth and the truth of God's word. It'll go in one ear and out the other. And I know they won't listen sometimes. It only comes through the pain of experience. That's what I've learned. They somehow or another, they've got to experience that pain and that suffering before they will ever understand. You know, the preacher was telling me right. And here's the thing that I beg of you to hear me today. Don't ignore the truth of God's word and put yourself in a vulnerable situation that you would end up doing something that you would regret and that you would end up later on in life wishing that you would have never done. Is that the truth? So we got to understand that judgment is coming. And again, I don't take that lightly, and there's so many other things I would like to put in there, and I don't have time to do that this morning. But we can see, first of all, that when Solomon was writing this, this is what he says. He's writing this as a son. He said, let thine heart keep my commandments. In other words, the word of God. The writer said that thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. For length of days and long life and peace shall be added unto thee. Long days, life shall be added unto you. If you keep thy word, put thy word in your heart, God says, long life and peace shall be added unto you. Verse 3, he says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them around thy neck. Write them upon the tablet of your heart. Again, he's saying, take a hold of the truth of the word of God, mercy of God, the truth of God, and let them not forsake you. In other words, let mercy be your acquaintance. Let the truth be your acquaintance. In other words, let them not forsake you. What happens when mercy forsakes us? What happens when truth forsakes us? The only thing I thought of is judgment. Hello? Off the record, not in the text. Not really off the record. But it's something, again, that Sherry and I talked about coming to church this morning. I think we did anyway. If I didn't say it, I thought about it, okay? Yeah, just riding up the road. Because I look at things and I see things. And I look at things through a pastor's eye. You got to understand that. I look at it through a pastor's eye. And I'm thinking to myself, if you warn people, it says it in the scripture. If you warn people of their sins, my job is to warn people. My job, it's not always an easy job. And somebody said, well, who made you God? I'm not God. I'm just a little peewee of a servant of his that somehow or another he chose me for some reason to do what I'm doing. It wasn't my choosing, I promise you that. But he said, if you tell them the truth, he said, then they hear you, then their soul has been saved. And then if they neglect you, And they will not hear you. You've delivered your soul, and their soul is not on your hand, but their soul is in their hand. And that's what I feel like I'm doing today. And my friend, every person in this room, we have got to understand that God loves us and God cares for us. But there's a day coming where that all of us will be accountable for what we've heard and what we know to be the truth. In this, we see again where that Solomon was writing this. He said, bind them about your neck. Write them up on the tablets of thine heart. In other words, have a consciousness about you. When you go to do something wrong, when you go to do something that you ought not to do, let this thing well up in you. Let your consciousness well up in you. We use another term for that, and we don't hear much about it anymore. I use the term conviction. I am so thankful for old-fashioned Holy Ghost power, conviction, because where would I be today if I would have not been convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit in order for God to put me back on a path of the straight and narrow, on the path of righteousness for His name's sake. So I thank God for old-fashioned conviction. And I know what time it is. I got a big red clock looking at me. It's 12:03. If you got a roast in the crock pot, do a remote set on that thing from your phone right now and reset it for 30 more minutes. Somebody say amen. Somebody says they don't even make such things. Hey, that was a good invention right there. That was a good invention. You can reset your crock pot from the pew. Hello, somebody. I like that. Somebody write that down for me. But we look at this, and he says this. He says, look in verse number 4. He says, so that thou shalt find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Good character. And again, outward beauty of Christ and the fruit of the Spirit. So that you may find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Look in verse 5. He says, rely with confidence, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Verse 6, in all of your ways, in all of thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. The reason I thought about this is simply this. If you allow God to correct you now, if you allow God to be your consciousness now, if you trust God now, if you walk in the mercy of God now, think about one day after a while when all shall appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You're not going to stand there in before God in the eyes of condemnation, but you're going to stand there before God free, free from sin and free from guilt and free from shame. You're going to stand there before Him, thanking Him and magnifying Him and glorifying Him. And my friend, that's what it's all about today. Live your life free from the guilt and the shame of this present world, that one day when we stand before Him, that we'll stand there, we'll hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Come, and I'll make you ruler over much." And that's the goal of everything we're trying to do. You may suffer a little bit right now. You may go through a fiery trial right now. That is my introduction, by the way. I hadn't got nowhere today. That you may go through a little trial here. You may go through a little persecution here. You may go through a little mockery here. But my friend, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And my friend, you looking unto Jesus, you give God the glory. You give God the praise that you and I have been counted worthy to suffer for Him. I thank God for it today. I don't look at my life as, and Jody, you can come. I ain't going to get done anyway. I'm nowhere near even scratching the surface. I'll finish it tonight, God willing. Lord help me. I thought about my own life, and I can't talk about your life because I don't know your life that well, but I can talk about mine. I thank God. I thank God today that God's mercy is upon me and upon the church, upon us. I thank God for that today. I thank God for the mercy of God. I'm going to hit a few more scriptures right here really, really fast. Really fast before you start. Look at this. He teaches us in the scriptures. And He goes, "In all of thy ways," verse 6, "in all of thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct your path. Be not wise in thine own eyes." He says, "Fear the Lord and depart from evil." And then He talks about this as you walk all the way down through there. There's 13 verses. And He says, and it shall be health to your navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with the substance and the first fruits of all thine increase, so that your barns shall be filled. In other words, you're going to live a blessed life when you put God first. You're going to live a blessed life so that your barns may be filled with plenty and your presses shall burst forth with new wine. Verse number 11, this is the thing that I got to, and I'm not going to have time to finish, but in this, He says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth." Look at verse 13. "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding." Verses 12 and 13. And 11, excuse me, he's in verse 11. "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord." Despise not the chastening of the Lord. That is a word that goes into something I want to talk about tonight, God willing. When you talk about judgment, there's a flip right here between the Old Testament and New Testament. Because when He talks about the chastening of the Lord, it talks about the judgment of the Lord. Then He talks about that word chastening is actually a word that means discipline. I thought about this as well. How many fathers have had to correct their children through life to keep that child from making a bad mistake? But yet how many people today will allow God, let's use this word, to chastise them, to chasten them? And we get a word out of that, discipline. I know growing up, there's probably very few people in this room that enjoyed being disciplined. I know from experience, been around young people and been around some of my own, is that young people, I'm not picking on young people, I'm just saying young people as an example, they typically don't like to be disciplined. They'll pout, grown men pout. That's my wife. We all have a tendency to do that. But primarily in this, he says that despise not the chastening of the Lord as a son. But I'm thinking to myself as I'm trying to walk through this message, I wonder how many adults, maybe even in this room, and people that you know and people that I know, when you try to bring correction to their life, or you try to bring reason into their life, they get upset at you. They walk away from you. They walk away from church because they don't like what the preacher preached. They walk away from church because they don't like how the Sunday school teacher taught the lesson. They walk away because it's easier to walk away than it is to be disciplined. It's easier to walk away. My God, have mercy. I'm just right now feeling the anointing. I got another good hour in me. But it's easier to walk away than it is to come under the disciplined hand of God. It's easier to do what the flesh wants us to do than to do what God wants us to do. So in all of this, Proverbs 22, I think is verse 6, we talk about children today. Well, let's take it a little bit further than just children, because he says in that scripture to train up a child in a way that they're to go, that when they're old, they won't depart. Again, when you look at that, you look at this in the word of discipline, train up a child. And see, as a pastor, you're not my child by no means, but the things we've talked about, we're all in this thing together. We've got to let God train us. We've got to let God lead us. We've got to let God be the Father that He is in the Scripture. And God is saying, if we'll just let Him train us, and we'll just let Him discipline us. Jesus chose 12 disciples. Disciples is students. It means students. It means pupil, if you will. They become His classroom. And then they were called His 12 disciples. They were disciplined and they were discipled. So my question is today, are we going to let God discipline us? Are we going to let God, are we going to be His disciple? Now I know that is a lot. It's a little bit scattered in thinking to try to pull it together to the scripture that talks about this in 1 Peter chapter 4. That we all are going to stand before the judgment seat of God. My question is, how are you going to stand? Are you going to stand there guilty, with sins upon your hands, if you will? Or are you going to stand there pure and clean, giving God the glory without the guilt and the shame and the condemnation of living for this world and by the standards of this world? God's called His church out of darkness. He's called us out of darkness. My prayer is today that there's a nugget or two along this journey that you picked up on something. Something somewhere that I'd said through this under the unction of the Spirit that's going to help you today to live a life ever closer unto God, ever closer unto Him. Because in all reality, I believe that's what you want. I know it's what I want. I want to hear Him say one day, well done. Don't you? I want to hear Him say that. Stand with me if you will. I'm out of time. I'm well over this morning. Father, God, help us today. Help us today to be Your people. Help us today to be everything that You would have us to be. God, I know today that we didn't get nowhere near done with what I wanted to get done with here this morning. But God, today I pray that You touch Your children. I pray, God, that You would purify our hearts. I pray, God, that You would keep us before You, God. God, as people that's seeking to please You. Lord, I know it's not by works of righteousness that we have done. I understand that. But God, You've called us to walk in the light of the Scripture. Lord, You've called us to walk in light. Oh God, to be the light in the darkness. You've called us away from the sinful mindsets and the sinful desires and the sinful things of this world, God. Oh God, I pray for this church. I pray for everyone that's here today, that God, that You would speak to our hearts and speak to our lives. And God, if there's one here today that's never been saved, one here today that's never been born again, one here today that's never given their life to You, I pray, oh God, even right now that they give their heart to You. I pray, oh God, even right now as they bow their heads and close their eyes, if there's one here today that don't know Jesus, if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus in your heart, you've never said the sinner's prayer. You know what the sinner's prayer is, but you've never asked Jesus in your heart. If you just say, Lord Jesus, right now, Lord Jesus, I pray that You come into my heart. Your word says, if I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart the Lord Jesus Christ, I shall be saved. So, Lord Jesus, I confess right now that I believe that Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. I believe that Jesus Christ lived a spotless life. I believe that Jesus was crucified and hung on the cross. And I believe that Jesus rose again. And I believe that Jesus is coming soon. I put my trust and my faith in Christ Jesus our Lord right now. And I pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Listen, Larry and Jean's coming up here. And we're going to have a conversation. I'm pretty sure they want to come for prayer. So hang on momentarily.